Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, so we're from Merritt. We've been there for 12 years and pastored there for most of that time. I was children's pastor, youth pastor, janitor, lead pastor. So did a little bit of everything, small church, small town. You end up doing lots of different things. And yeah, we're excited to be here this morning. And for your online service is great. We got connected with Gateway first through watching online. So to everyone who's watching online this morning, welcome. It's good to have you here. I think online is something so cool that we get to do these days in being able to share church in different ways than maybe we had in the past. So yeah, Matt asked me to continue the series that he's been working on, The Fruit of the Spirit, which was unfortunate because I didn't get to just recycle a sermon that I've already preached before, so I actually had to work, write a new sermon. But it's awesome. I'm excited. It's a great topic, and one I think is so important these days as we're talking about what church looks like, what society looks like, and the fruit of the Spirit is one of those key things that I think we need to focus on. So we're looking at two characteristics today, kindness and goodness. They go together closely, as we'll see. And they deal mostly with our interpersonal relationships. They're rooted in God's character, and they help us to recalibrate our relationships. So that's what I called the sermon this morning, is recalibrating our relationships. So we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, obviously, as we've said. We're looking at Galatians 5. I just wanted to read the passage that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, going back a couple of verses, starting in verse 19. And it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So this passage, it's given in the context of comparing the life of the flesh, or the life lived in and for the world, with the life of the Spirit, the life that is lived in and for the Spirit in Jesus. And Paul is comparing and contrasting these two ways of living. And I think, as Paul lists, there's a pretty clear contrast. The types of actions and lifestyle that is in and for the world, and Paul lists a bunch of things that come from that life that life is about. And then he quickly contrasts that with the life of the Spirit and what the life of the Spirit is about. And the life of the Spirit is about the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics that he lists. And you can pretty easily see there's a big difference between these two lifestyles, the results that they produce, the actions that are undertaken in these two different lifestyles. The idea is that the Christian life is supposed to look different than the life that is lived in and for the world, the life that looks to our own passions, our own interests, you know, the moment, whatever is happening, just live life, pursue it, do whatever you want. The life of the Spirit is supposed to look different. And I think in our society today, this can be a challenge for us, because maybe for the first time in a while in Canadian culture, being a Christian actually looks different than living in and for the world. The Bible teaches things that culture doesn't teach. It's always been like that, but it seems like maybe it's becoming more pronounced. And being a Christian, living as a Christian, living the fruit of the Spirit today is possibly more challenging in Canada than it has been in the recent past, because life does look different when you're living for the Spirit as opposed to the world and what the world pursues, what we sometimes want to pursue. So to figure out this life, You've probably used your phone to find your way somewhere, right? GPS on your phone. I don't know what we did before we had phones that told us where to go. I remember being a kid and going on road trips. We had paper maps, right? We literally pulled out the paper map and, you know, you got to find out where you go, and then you miss the exit because you don't have your phone telling you, take exit 374, and you miss the exit and you have to turn around, get the map out again, get lost in a city that you're unfamiliar with. GPS is so handy. But just like finding our way with our GPS, you know, when you're following along and sometimes the map gets off-centered, your little location dots over here and you can't see it anymore and you have to push the button and recenter the map. I think the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit is much like that. It functions like that, a reorientation, a recalibration. Sometimes we get off center. We get a little bit lost. We get over here and we forget to center here. And Jesus, of course, is our center. He is the one that we are supposed to be focusing on. He is the one that centers us. And we have to reorientate ourselves on Christ, reorientate our relationships, recalibrate in order to stay centered. And I think that's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. It's a big part of it. So we're looking specifically at kindness and goodness today. And as I was looking at this passage and looking at the topic, I think, like, kindness and goodness, like, how hard can it be, right? Like, two fairly straightforward concepts. We're familiar with kindness. You know, if you ask anyone what a definition of kindness is, you could probably give someone a good definition of what kindness is, what goodness is. What is there to this passage? It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty self-explanatory. But then I thought about what's happened in our world the last couple of years. And you think about, you know, I don't know about you, and, you know, I don't want to say the C word, COVID, but you think of all the divisions and arguments that we've seen over the past couple of years, right? You know, there's been all kinds of things, you know, there's been everything going on. There's been divisions, there's been arguments, there's been anger, there's been disagreements. And you think maybe kindness and goodness aren't quite as straightforward as we first thought. Maybe there is something to this. Maybe there is something that we need to hear here today. So we're going to look at kindness first and definition of kindness. Kindness is a type of behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, or concern for others without expecting praise or reward. Now, I think that's interesting because we think, you know, yeah, it's not that hard probably to do something kind, but especially today, I was thinking again, you know, our social media world, and people see, like, you do something kind, but then, you know, hey, quick selfie, post that on my Instagram, and people sometimes do kind things in order to be noticed, and then, you know, they're posting it about on their social media accounts, and yeah, you know, you did a good thing, but is it kindness if you're looking for a reward for yourself? And that can be a temptation in kindness. Another temptation can be that I do it for my own self-interest, not for social media necessarily, but I do something for someone else in order to benefit myself as well. I do something to get something out of the act or out of the relationship. And I don't know about you, but at least for me, it can be difficult sometimes where you just look at people for what they do or, you know, what their abilities are. And our kindness can be based on that, in trying to draw something out of people that benefits ourselves. However, kindness flowing from love, love, of course, is the root of the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness genuinely puts others first. And Jesus, of course, is our best example in this. Just a couple of things about Jesus' earthly ministry is characterized by kindness. You look at the things he said and the things he did. He associated many times with sinners that no one of good reputation wanted to be around. Look at the types of people he hung out with regularly. He was mocked by the Pharisees for the people that he hung out with, but he offered them kindness. And for many of them, it was the first time they had experienced kindness in a long time, maybe ever. Think of Zacchaeus. He was not expecting Jesus to treat him kindly. But Jesus did, and it transformed his life. One act of kindness, Jesus noticing him, talking to him, being kind to him, not looking down on him, not mocking him, that one act of kindness changed Zacchaeus' life. Jesus loved the little children and brought them close to him. Again, the disciples, Jesus, we're busy. Don't waste your time with the children. You know, we've got big things to do. We've got important stuff to do. Jesus, no, let the children come to me. He loved the children. He treated them kindly where others thought it's not important. We've got other stuff to do. He's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, for us, with loving kindness. And as Jesus was kind, we are to follow his example. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." You know, if you're married, you ever got mad at your spouse, and you don't want to be kind, and you don't want to be compassionate, maybe you don't want to forgive them. Not that I've ever experienced that. Never experienced it. But kindness calls for putting your spouse first, for putting others first, even when you don't want to, even when you don't feel like it in the moment. Because Jesus didn't have to forgive us. He chose to forgive us. He chose to come to earth. He chose to offer forgiveness. And likewise, we're to follow his example. We don't have to offer forgiveness. We don't have to be kind, but we can. And we follow Jesus' example when we do. And following the example of Christ, we can show kindness to people even when they don't deserve it. We can still show kindness because Jesus offers us forgiveness and kindness even when we know we don't deserve it. So how do we recalibrate our relationships with kindness? I think you look at the book of James, you have to combine faith and action. Kindness involves action. We can believe kindness, yeah, it's good to be kind, but thinking kind thoughts without doing anything doesn't necessarily help us. It's a start, thinking kind thoughts, but we have to also act in a way that is kind. What we do for our neighbors is actually action that is done to Christ. Jesus talks about that. Whatever you did for the least of these, you actually did for me, in Mark chapter 9. We can do thoughtful deeds for others, not just considering our own needs and wants. We can offer grace and forgiveness to others. Proverbs 15:1, this is one of my favorite verses, one of my wife and I's favorite verses. We actually put this up in our room. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And it's so easy to have that harsh word come to mind, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. And I think especially in our world today where, you know, we don't always know where other people are at and where other people are coming from. We don't know everyone's background and history. And, you know, again, it can be easy to jump into that argument and to stereotype people based on, you know, their beliefs, their politics, their opinions, whatever it is. But we can give other people the benefit of the doubt. And if we give people the benefit of the doubt, we may actually be able to understand them better. And starting with kindness can potentially diffuse difficult situations. And going with a kind word, a gentle word, rather than a harsh word, can make a difference in our relationships. And you've probably all experienced kindness. If you think for a moment, you probably can have an example jump to mind of a time when you experienced kindness, someone offered kindness to you. And you can think about, how did that make you feel? What was that kindness? What was that kindness that someone offered to you in your life? Maybe even when you didn't feel like you deserved it, but yet someone was kind to you. So looking now at goodness, like kindness, goodness flows from the character of God. God is good. God doesn't just do good, but God is good. It's in the very nature of who he is and his character. He is good. And goodness is very similar to kindness, with the added definition of showing generosity to others. And it's a character quality born out of the spiritual life, and goodness shares with others, physically, spiritually, material goods. And it's not just a single action, but it's a way of life. You can do a good act, and probably anyone can do a good act. But goodness, in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, is about a way of life, a lifestyle, character, traits. L.T. Holdcroft said that goodness is love in action, love with its hands to the plow, love with the burdens on its back, love serving God and humanity, love following in his steps who went about doing good. And that, of course, is referring to Jesus, the one who went about doing good. And Acts 10, 37 and 38 says this: "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." And to follow the example of Jesus, Paul writes in Galatians, he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." So how do we recalibrate our relationships with goodness? Look to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are our center, our focus, where we need to draw kindness and goodness from. We can't be and do good on our own. In and of ourselves, we're not capable of doing all of the good things and the kind things that we might want to do. We need Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we get to join Jesus in what he's up to. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are good, do good, and create good. God's people are not good in themselves, but become capable of doing good through the empowerment of God's Spirit and the presence of God in their lives through Christ. And I think a foundational understanding of faith is this, and something that I've come to believe in the last couple of years, is when you're thinking about what's going on in the world, you're thinking about your relationship with Jesus, just think that God is good. And so Jesus is already and always up to something good. We don't always see those things in the moment. And yes, bad things happen in the world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. But Jesus is always up to something good. And we get to be part of that discovery. And talking to someone a while ago, and they're talking about this, and you know, you look around in our world, and you know, looking at a beautiful flower, that's something good. Wherever you see moments of beauty, moments of redemption, Jesus is there, and he is working in those moments to bring about something good. And sometimes I think it's easy for us to get so tied up in the world. You know, you watch the news, it's mostly bad news. I don't watch the news very often because of that. It's all bad news, right? They highlight the bad things that are happening most often. But there are good things happening in the world too. And we get to join Jesus in looking to find those good things. Sometimes we have to do a little treasure hunt, right? We have to uncover, we have to look for those good things. We get to be part of those good things as we join Jesus. It's not that we have to create something out of nothing. Jesus is already there, and he's already gone ahead of us doing something good. We get to join him in his mission. Jesus didn't simply preach and teach the concepts of goodness and kindness. He demonstrated and lived them in very practical ways when he was on earth. And probably the most practical output of goodness is generosity. And it's simple. Be generous towards other people. And I know for me, a big part of where I'm at today is through the generosity of other people. And generosity can look a lot of different ways. For me, one thing that jumps to mind is when I was in college, I had saved some money to go towards college. And parents of recent graduates, you know this, right? College is expensive. University is expensive. Costs a lot of money to do post-secondary education. But I'd saved a little bit of money. My parents had saved a little bit of money, was able to pay for my first year. After my first year, my grandpa talked to me and said, I'd like to pay for the rest of your schooling, the rest of your college degree. And just like that, it was paid for. He didn't have to do that. It was never something I expected. But he said, when I was your age, I didn't have the opportunity to go to college. And now I have a little bit of money, and I want to give some to you in order that you can do your education. So for me, that made a big impact on my life, the generosity of other people in helping me to get to where I am today. So we can think, where is it in your power to act with goodness, to act with kindness? And kindness and goodness are characteristics. They must be lived. We can't just have them in theory. They must be lived out. And the culture that we live in has become seemingly more and more divided. We've all seen examples of this. And I think in this context, kindness and goodness are more important than ever. And in a world of divisive topics, frazzled relationships, and internet anger, kindness and goodness help us to recalibrate our relationships. And Pastor Matt touched on this last week, and I promise I had already written this before he said this. I'm not stealing his topic. But he talked about how we focus so much on our individual rights and how we focus on what we deserve, what my rights are. And we get upset when we have so many rights and people don't follow my definition of my rights, because other people have different definitions. And people will say, it's my right to whatever it is. But contrary to this opinion, contrary to popular culture, contrary to this idea of individual rights, biblical living looks different. And this quote, I think, sums it up well. And says, this is a certain kind of living, biblical living, is a certain kind of living that requires a certain mindset, not asserting your own rights, considering the needs of others as more important than your own. And I think in our world today, that is such a helpful recalibration, that it's not necessarily about my rights. You know, yes, we do have certain rights, but making up our own definitions, having a huge list of rights, that's not what biblical living is actually about. It's not about being right. It's not about winning the argument. It's not about making sure that everyone is paying attention to my specific rights, but considering the other needs of others as more important than our own. And I think kindness and goodness get us started on this road, that it's not about individual rights, but it's about relationships. It's not about being right, but about grace and forgiveness offered to other people. It's not about arguments and winning the argument, but it's about kindness and giving others the benefit of the doubt. And I think those things can help us to recalibrate our relationships in a Christ-like manner. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Matt as we close this morning.
Good stuff, Mike. You know, I know we struggle with this. I struggle with this when you talk about that aspect of being right. Right? We want to be right. And one of the things that popped in my mind as you're saying that is it reminded me of like the fruit of the Spirit that's talked about in Galatians 5. And part of the fruit of the Spirit, like when the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of you, part of what he will not produce is you being right. It's just not there. I don't see it in Scripture where it's like the Holy Spirit comes and he fills you and now your opinions are right. We just don't have it, right? But there is that aspect of kindness and goodness. And I think within the world today that we live in, man, we'll make a greater impact on the world with our kindness and our goodness than whether or not we're right. I want to, in the spirit of kindness and goodness, why don't you stand with me? I'm just going to read this scripture to you. It's from Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to close with this. It's from the New Living Translation, but this is the prayer of Moses over Israel, and I want to pray this over you today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. May you go in kindness and goodness and be blessed.